Hello, and thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Fred, and I know we're on a religious channel, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the Bible, and I usually have, and if you look at the other places on this website, that I do have much Bible material for us. However, in the political climate of today, I am taking an experimental journey using this station, because I have already paid for the station, to just wonder a little bit about the interface between our faith, our community, and politics. And the first thing that comes to mind is that I really feel there is a tremendous need in our society for an interface that's not inside of a church building. I'm very concerned that the church is ghettoized by the freedom of religion doctrines or belief systems in the American society. And what I mean by that is that it seems like, well, you have freedom of religion as long as you practice that religion within the confines or inside the boundaries of your church building. You're not to come out from that church building. You can go into the building, close the doors, close the windows, shut off the microphones, and you can do whatever you want. But if that religious expression spills out, there are many, not everyone, of course, but there are many who would say, no, you can't do that. Recently in St. Matthew's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Bergenfield, we have experienced the wonderful co-ministry with the St. Mary's Syriac Orthodox Church who have share our facility. This is a wonderful church of India from Kerala, India. That's their origins. Tradition says they're founded by St. Thomas the Apostle. And it's been around a long time, this church, but now these great, wonderful people, the Indian people from Kerala, India, members of the Syriac Orthodox Church, have migrated legally to the United States. They're citizens. Many of the people in that congregation are doctors, lawyers, nurses, business owners, insurance agency people, several physicians. These good people and St. Matthew's Evangelical Lutheran Church, most of them from the German stock, have had a wonderful interaction. And it's a wonderful thing to see. Now, the thing that's interesting for our discussion today is that the Syriac Orthodox Church of St. Mary's of Bergenfield is not afraid of reaching out into the community through outdoor activities of preaching, through outdoor activities of parading for their religious festivals, going about in the streets as Christians, following after the cross of Jesus, which parades in front of them, and then carrying the Holy Eucharist. Much of these ceremonial activities are colorful and wonderful and delightful to participate in and delightful to behold. And people, it seems, always appreciate them whenever they're performed. The thing that encourages me here is that the Syriac Orthodox Church of St. Mary's in Bergenfield does not shy away from going outside the doors, going outside the walls, going out into the community. Now, much of this, of course, comes from their culture, where these things happen all the time. Religious festivals and religious activities, parades, and outdoor displays of religious feelings and faith and piety are part of their culture and part of their history. That was also true of Lutheranism and Catholicism, but it seems, for whatever reason, that we've gone into our churches, closed the doors, closed the windows, drawn the blinds, and we keep our faith inside the four walls of the building. The sadness about this is that I believe that much of this has been culturally enforced, imposed upon us by a culture that says, you know, you keep yourself within the confines of your church. You keep yourself within the confines of those four walls. You don't come out. You have freedom of expression. You have freedom of religion, but you don't have freedom to impact the culture. This has caused us at St. Matthew's, because we have resources, to try to venture out through this particular broadcasting and through a radio station which we run in conjunction with radio in Kentucky, Richmond, Kentucky. The particular station I'm talking about is a station, a community station Richmond Radio Kentucky, WKRI, low power FM 95.9 in Richmond, broadcasting a 100-watt station off a tower on Lancaster Road. This particular station that we have in Richmond, Kentucky, is an experimental station. What we're trying to do is we're trying to interact with the community, with the culture, on its own turf, according to its own terms, through the medium of radio and music. Now, what we have then in WKRI Low Power FM Richmond, Kentucky, is a golden oldies format. We've decided that we're not going to do contemporary. We really can't compete with iHeartRadio and the other great, wonderful radio stations that are out there. And we didn't go with a completely and 100% Christian radio station because there are some fine K-Love and these other big syndicate are doing a wonderful job of that. And so we decided that what was our mission statement? Our mission statement was that we wanted to encounter and impact the contemporary culture through the medium of radio and music, or according to their own terms. Now, much of music today is obscene, dirty, and it has innuendos which are anti-feminist, and a whole lot of other good stuff like that. So we decided to go with the oldies format. And we're also looking at this particular station that we're using because the internet is a very big part of American society today, and radio does seem to be moving into the internet radio world. So we have two missionary outreaches. One of them is in conjunction with a volunteer community organization in Richmond, Kentucky, and the other is with St. Matthew's Evangelical Lutheran Church at Bergenfield. And I was talking to you about St. Mary's Syriac Orthodox Church at Bergenfield as well, a sister congregation, a co-ministry with us in ministry here in Bergenfield. So, in this experimental approach, we try to encounter the society from a Christian perspective, but on their own turf. And that's why we use the Golden Oldies program. The language is a little bit better there. The songs are a little bit easier to play because you don't have to deal with so much of the innuendo and sexual stuff and nasty language that we have in modern music today, and we don't want to do that because that's just not for us. But okay, so now what I'm doing here is wondering, can I use this format to engage and encourage the society from an aspect of politics and religion? A lot of people say, well, there's two things that you don't talk about in life, and those are politics and religion. However, I would suggest to you a different viewpoint. There probably isn't too much worthwhile to talk about other than politics and religion. Why? Well, religion deals with a reality beyond time and space, but a reality, although outside of time and space and beyond time and space, the religious reality is a reality that impacts daily life, impacts the way we live and the way we are. Why is that? Because we are spiritual beings. Human beings are not just protoplasm. They're not just the heart and lungs and a liver and all that good stuff, muscle mass and blood flow and urinary tracts and all that kind of good stuff. Rather, the Christian faith believes that the human person is a creation of God and that we carry, as it were, a divine spark within us called the soul. And this gift to us at conception is with us throughout our entire life, from the conception until death. And then we believe as Christians that that spark of divine life, the soul, does not end, nor does it get absorbed into some kind of great soup, but rather that the individual human person, all that the human person is, all that the human person thinks, all that the human person experiences, all of the human person is carried on beyond death, physical death, to spiritual life. And this spiritual life is given to us as a gift from God, because God doesn't waste things. God doesn't make things to be just discarded. God doesn't create us as human beings and give us all the wonder that is to be a human being just to trash it in the end or to dissolve it in some kind of spatial soup of some kind. But rather, we believe that we retain our personality, we retain our distinctiveness in life and past death by a gift of God. And so when St. Matthew's or Richmond Radio Kentucky or St. Mary's Bergenfield tries to impact the society, we do it not because we are other than the society. We believe we are very much part of the matrix of life, and that religion and spiritual values and the things that the religious people speak about, God and Christ and faith and love and forgiveness and spiritual dimension, these are part of the reality of our existence. And to deny them is to curtail our understanding. When you say, well, the person is only a human being, that's degrading. We're much bigger than just so much protoplasm and so much flesh, but we are, in fact, cosmic beings, beings of light, beings of great power, beings of intellectual prowess and greatness, people of emotional prowess and greatness, people of creative prowess and greatness. And we are able, as a gift of God, because we carry the divine spark within us, which is the soul, we are able to be like unto God, although we recognize that since we have a beginning and we can have an ending, we are not God. Now, what do I mean by that? We have a beginning. In other words, there was a time, I was born in 1947, there was a time in 1947 when Fred was not. Actually, maybe even more so in 1946, let's say. This Fred that's speaking to you now, whose voice you hear through my vocal cords and through my voice box and through this marvelous medium of internet radio, this Fred did not exist in 1946, but 1947, he existed. He became a being. And there come a time when people will say, where is Fred? And they will say, well, Fred is dead. Now, Fred is dead, we believe, to them. Fred is no longer interactive with them. He cannot be retrieved from death to the living. But Fred is in another dimension. Fred is in another world. Fred is in heaven. And this is an ontological existential reality, a cosmological reality, that the personality, the divine spark, can, by the grace of God, live beyond death. However, it is also our belief as Christians that God can make that, he can snuff it out. God can terminate the human being, because God is the giver of the gift. God is the owner of the gift in that sense, and God can take the gift and snuff it out, because God is sovereign and we are not. We do not create ourselves, therefore we do not have ownership of ourselves. Okay, and it's for that reason that we want to communicate with you in the political and in the religious spiritual realms, because politics is the science of the possible. Politics is how you get things done. People say politics is dirty, politics is all kinds of negative things. But really, another way of looking at the political process is that politics is the way in which we as human beings organize ourselves to accomplish deeds for ourselves as a group over and above what the individual can do for him or herself. And it is exactly for this reason that we need politics, because there is a herself, there is a himself, and the herself and himself have different ideas, they have different opinions, they have different approaches, they have different philosophies, they have different religions, and they have different goals and wants and needs. And so politics is the attempt of the society to have a conversation, to have a dialogical interaction, whereby we together attempt to do for each other what we can't do for ourselves. And that's one of the reasons, for instance, that I am amazed after the election of Donald Trump as president-elect of the United States of America, that so many young persons in Chicago or the Seattle area or wherever they might, or even in New York City, I should even consider protesting. The group, the interactive group, the group that exercises its freedom of choice, its freedom of decision is freedom of interaction, has spoken in a free society in order that they might elect someone to lead them. It's a mutual decision. Now, these people had an opportunity to vote for someone else. They had an opportunity to vote for someone other than Donald Trump. If they did not exercise that, that's their problem. If they did exercise that right to vote and they didn't win, well, they just need to grow up. I agree with one of the commentators this morning who said, he was asked, what do you recommend to the protesters saying that Donald Trump is not their president? Well, if you're an American, he is your president. If you're a citizen of this country, he is your president. You don't have to like him. You don't have to love him. You don't have to kiss him and hug him. But he is your president because we live in a society of law and order. We live in a society of agreed to rules and regulations. We as a society, by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions, have expressed our will. And we agreed when we entered into the process to have a robust debate, a robust dialogue, a robust conversation, even a raucous debate and a raucous conversation. But we agreed, because we're Americans, that the transfer of power from one to the other would be a peaceful transition based upon the freedom of expression, based upon the freedom of the law under the Constitution, and based upon the majority will of the people. So these college graduates, I guess, who are running amok saying, well, this is not right, we don't like it. Well, get over your tantrum. You know, it's time to, if you're 20 years old, you shouldn't be having temper tantrums. One little observation there. I watched it this morning and people were burning the flag. People were protesting the street. I noticed a very, very interesting factor. These college students were wearing hoodies, thereby covering their identity. They had their backs to the camera, thereby covering their identity. They turned away from any kind of camera, thereby covering their identity. And when they were burning the flag and putting candles on the flag to burn it, they wore masks. Well, if you're going to cover your face and hide yourself, then you are probably acting like a terrorist. This is America. If you feel that you have the freedom of expression, which you're saying you do, and if you feel that you have the freedom of protest, which you're saying you do, and if you don't like the election results, which you're saying you do, then have the guts and the courage to appear on camera, to appear with your face uncovered, and to take off the hoodie. If you're just some kind of criminal and you have to wear a mask and you have to cover your face with a hoodie, then, you know, who would want to pay attention to you? In that case, surprisingly enough, I think you should be arrested. If you're not willing to stand up and confront us as a citizen, but rather as a hooded and masked criminal, then go ahead and do that, but face arrest for acting like a terrorist. Now, I know those kind of statements that I just made are pretty radical, but, you know, I worked hard. I listened to the debates. I listened to the discussion. I participated in the political process. I went to meetings. I was on the internet. I interacted with friends and relatives. I interacted with my church. I prayed. I struggled. And I chose. And I went and voted. And in this case, Donald Trump is my man. And I am glad that he was elected. In the last two elections, Obama was not my man. But he was the president of the United States. I did not go to protest. I did not go onto the streets. I did not put on a hoodie. I did not wear a mask. I did not burn the flag. I accepted the American process of freedom and the American process of democracy and the American process of comprehensive cooperation and collaboration in the political process. And having done that, we also understand as mature American citizens that we get a chance every 2 years to elect a member of the House of Representatives and every 4 years to elect a president. And so if you're not happy with what happened now, you have 2 years to get out there and get your man elected to the Congress, and you have 4 years to come up with a candidate who can win in the next election. That's your right and your privilege, and it's something that you have to work at. We're not going to send you something to pet and something to hug and give you a safe space on the campus and, oh, mommy, let me put my thumb in my mouth because, gee whiz, my man didn't win. Well, get over it. You're supposed to be in training to become an adult, productive member of society. I'm sure you regard yourself as an adult in terms of drinking. I think you regard yourself as an adult in terms of driving a car. I think you regard yourself as an adult in terms of smoking pot. I think you regard yourself as an adult in so many other areas. Well, then start being an adult in your civic responsibility and your civic duty, which is not to run amok and say, oh, gee, shucks, I didn't get what I wanted, and now I'm going to take the streets and protest. That's childish. I don't know where you get that from. Maybe it's your upbringing, but that's not the American way, and that is not really what we should be doing. There's no tyranny involved here. There's no dictatorship involved here. It's the freedom of the will of the American people, freely expressed in a democratic way in our republic. Freedom of expression has been already expressed. Freedom of political action has already been expressed. Freedom to vote has already been expressed. The decision has been made. Now just get over it. And if you don't like it, then start organizing yourself to do something about it the next time around. 2 years, 2 years from now, you can elect a new representative in your congressional districts if you don't like what's going on. I only have a few minutes left. We're going to keep this broadcast to 30 minutes. So we have about 8 minutes left on this broadcast. I want to thank you if you listened this far. I know it isn't a Bible study. It isn't connected directly to the word of the Lord. I understand that this is something out of the ordinary, and I appreciate your willingness to listen this far into the broadcast. Now, what I'm saying here about the interaction of this broadcast with politics is that I think that politics can inform religion, and religion can inform politics. And I'm not only saying Christian religion, although I am a Christian, I'm saying religion, because religions have values, and whether it's the value of mercy, or it's the value of love, or it's the value of forgiveness, or it's the value of charity, of course, these are all Christian values, but these need to be impacting the political process. Likewise, the political process impacts the church, because, as I've said in the beginning of the program, in the American society today, we have this idea of freedom of religion. However, I would make the suggestion that freedom of religion has morphed, has been changed in some various nefarious ways into freedom from religion. That a person has a right to be free from religion, which is true. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be any religion. That's the American way. However, just because you want to express your right to not have a religion doesn't mean that I should be forbidden in the public space and the public square and the public forum from expressing my religion. However, under the guise of freedom of religion, forces in academia, and that's the biggest blame of all, academia, colleges, universities, public schools, teachers, principals, superintendents of schools, they have enforced a philosophy that you have to keep your religion to yourself. You cannot express your religion. You can go to church as long as the church is closed and out of the way and the doors are closed and the windows are closed and you don't impact the society in any way. You can have your ghetto of religion as long as we don't have to put up with it. Well, that's not the way it works either. Just as we said a few minutes ago that people who don't like the results of the election, up until now, in American society, they've just take their lumps, they take their defeat, they move on, they cooperate to the best of their ability with the new leader. They hope to impact the new leader's decisions. They hope to guide his or her decisions in the way in which you do in a democracy, through forums and through letters to the congressional people, through your own representatives, through your senators, through expressions in articles of opinion like the newspaper or even this radio broadcast. But you're saying, well, we can't do that from the religious realm. Oh, you can do that, and others can do that to us, but we can't do it. Well, likewise, we have rights and privileges in American society to express our opinions and our philosophy, our religious philosophy, our religious spirituality, our belief system about what a human person is or is not. And so when a person says you can't say something in the public square, in the public forum, like a prayer or read from the Bible, because it offends somebody, some one individual person, what we're seeing in the street protests of the people against Trump is the same concept being put out there in the public realm that, well, we don't like it, so therefore we're going to stop it. Well, in other words, these protesters believe that the many millions of people who voted for this man to be president of the United States should have their right of election taken away, and that he should be forced to live in a miserable way, or live in a ghettoized situation, or live with constant harassment and constant opposition and constant riotous behavior because you don't like it. Well, you know, again, I'm a parent and I'm an adult. I said where I was born. Get over that. That's just baby stuff. And we don't do that in our house, meaning America. And you either live by the rules or you go someplace else. I mean, I know, take it or leave it, but that's really the truth. There are many, many ways to influence and to give expression to your disappointment in the political result. But there's nothing wrong with the political process. We just had one of the most robust, the most exciting, the most dynamic, the most clear political discourse and debate and discussion and even shouting and yelling at each other and all the good stuff that goes with it. And then we had a chance to absorb all that. And each one of us as a citizen had a chance to express our opinion at the ballot box. And we did. And Mr. Donald Trump won. And he is the president of the United States. As a religion, as a person of religion, as a Christian, I'm using this broadcast to try to bring influence into your lives. I have a blog, which I have. It's interesting enough, the blog is called Progressive Politics on WordPress.com, Progressive Politics. I chose it Progressive Politics because I had just, at the time when I started the blog, finished reading a book about Teddy Roosevelt. And I was so impressed with how Teddy Roosevelt stood up against the corruption of the power brokers and the people who would suppress freedom in his own day. I was so impressed with how Teddy Roosevelt helped us to appreciate the society, the environment, the West, the Buffalo, and helped us to establish the national park system. I was so impressed with his progressive concepts that I called the blog Progressive Politics. Little did I realize that another progressive, Woodrow Wilson, would be the champion of progressivism, and that progressivism was not what I agreed to. I don't have a progressive Wilsonian viewpoint of things. However, the blog is called progressivepolitics.com. If you care to look at it, it's on WordPress. And if you care to, especially if you're in the Richmond, Kentucky area, and care to listen, WKRI 95.9 FM on the FM dial, 95.9 WKRI, low power FM, is a solid gold radio station, a very exciting one. We hope to be able to stream it. What we do to impact the society on that program is we inject 90-second or two-minute injections of Christian messages, Christian reflections, and Christian teachings in the broadcast day so that a little bit of Christianity, a bite-sized piece, a little piece of Christianity can be put out there, not to overwhelm anyone, but to say to someone, well, this is what the Christians think, or this is what the Christians believe, or this is what the Christians want to contribute to your thinking or to your belief system, or it's a means of encouragement. We also have many public announcements, government announcements and the like, and public service announcements to support the community of Richmond in Kentucky. And so if you're there and you know someone who lives in Richmond, Kentucky, you can have them tune into WKRI 95.9 FM. And they're most likely going to be able to hear it in the car radio, because a 100-watt station is like a 100-watt bulb. You know, just think of a 100-watt bulb on a tower. It's amazing that it actually does go as far as it does, but that's mainly in the car radios. If you're inside of a steel structure building and you're outside of a 3-kilometer range, you probably won't be able to hear WKRI 95.9 FM. But we're looking into streaming it. We're looking into getting on the internet. There's some licensing situations with ASCAM and BCAM and ASCAP and all these other licensing things, which are very expensive. And there's also the programming aspect, DJs and speakers, and there's also the copyright material. There's a lot to running a radio station. So we're working on that and hope to be able to tell you that we're doing that as well. This program today was an experimental program. I'm also using a new mic and a new recording system. Yesterday I used it, and the peas, you know, Peter Piper picked a peck of purple peppers. Well, that really came out very badly yesterday. I hope this program is better. So I'm over my 30 minutes. I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to be doing this again tomorrow and the next day as we try to develop a new approach to this particular blog talk radio program. So thank you very much, and I'm Pastor Fred. Have a great day.